Lord, here at the end of a semester talking about fulfillment, we ask that you might be an inspiration, that you might be a palpable presence, that in you, Jesus, we might find everything that makes us truly, fully alive. We pray this in your name. Amen. So the first glitch was a technical difficulty. The second glitch is, I don't think I ever sent Sammy the scripture for tonight. So I'm just going to read it for you. It's going to sound familiar because we talked about it at the beginning of the semester. Colossians 1, 15 through 20, and it says this. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Jesus all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Paul's going on a lot here. There's lots of things that were created in Jesus. All things have been created through and for Jesus. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Here at the end of a semester talking about fulfillment, it's not shocking that we would talk about Jesus's fullness. But surprise, I'm not going to talk about fullness tonight. What? What?
What?
Instead, we're going to talk about reconciliation. Jesus, it says, is reconciling all things. I think, if I could sum up everything we've talked about this semester, God's vision for fulfillment is reconciliation. Is reconciling all things. Now, let's be clear about reconciliation is not. Reconciliation is not restoration. What is restoration? Restore. We make it like it was before. I think we know that when we've been hurt in relationships, even when we find forgiveness, the relationship is never like it was before. Things change. Reconciliation is also not redemption. That's an even more churchy kind of word. But we also like redeem tickets and that kind of stuff. So you know what redemption means, right? We just count it as valuable. If I give you my ticket and you let me go see the Browns.
Hey.
What was this? Hey, we are the best 3-win team in all of football. Anyway, which is just saying literally nothing. Literally zero things. But it is, you are redeeming my ticket. You are saying this ticket is valuable for a certain thing. And in Jesus, God redeems humanity. So restoration is a good thing. And redemption is a good thing. But neither of them are reconciliation. Because reconciliation is bringing separate beings into new kinds of relationship. Reconciliation is bringing separate beings into new kinds of relationship. So here's what God is not doing. God's not trying to take us back to Eden for multiple reasons, not the least of which is there's now more than two of us. So shockingly, I think we would not meet fire code if we tried to put 7 billion people into Eden. It just wouldn't work out all that well. But also, if we read carefully in Scripture, God's promise is not just to restore Eden, but it's to remake Eden in a new heaven and a new earth, where that tree of the knowledge of the good and evil and the tree of life are now at the center, fed by the streams of living water, where rather than being inaccessible, they are now fully accessible to humanity. Rather than there being an angel guarding against entry into Eden, the doors are open by day and there is no night there because Jesus, the Son of Man, is its light. That's what God is creating. And God's fulfillment is more than calling us valuable or naming us beloved, though, like, I'm a big fan of that. In fact, I think I just told you all, like, I love you guys so much. You're the best. It's really been great, right? Like, this is good. We should do this. But telling you you're valuable is different than giving you divine purpose. And that's what reconciliation is. Reconciliation is ultimately the divine purpose on your life, to reconcile with everyone who's like you and everyone who's not. With all the things that you love and all of the things that you struggle with. This is the hardest teaching in all of Scripture. And I don't count any others super easy, but if at the end of the day Jesus is reconciling all things, there's a lot of things that I don't know that I want to be reconciled with. There's a lot of people that have done me dirty, have hurt me. Reconciliation is easy with puppies. It's real difficult with people who we know have maliciously hurt us. It's real difficult with people who we even have tried really hard, they're just really kind of bad at being a friend. But reconciliation is not our work alone. Reconciliation is ultimately God's work in and through us. So when we have this call to a fulfillment that is ultimately bringing back together the entire body of Christ, the entire image of God, that's why this imagery is here of Christ as the head of the body. Because if God created us all in God's image to make up the body, what's got to happen? We've got to come back together. So reconciliation is ultimately the fulfillment that God is pointing us toward. But it's also not something that's just eventually far off someday. It's not like, oh, when I get to the end, I'll get a reconciliation cookie. It's, you know, like, Morgan and I had lunch at Peking today, and at the end, we got fortune cookies. Hilarious fortune cookies, I might add. What?
That's fortunate.
Fortunate. I thought you said something much more crass. That was interesting. I'll tell you afterwards. I thought you said that was BS. And I was like, what? What do you mean? We totally did eat there. Anyway, point being, reconciliation is not just something that we get to pick up at the end of the day. It is something that the Spirit of God is at work doing through us along the way. Reconciliation is what we experience in the journey of becoming the body of Christ, of meeting the image of God in people that are just unlike us, that just don't think or talk or act like us. The fulfillment we seek, God's reconciliation, is what Jesus talked about from the start when he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who lost a coin. The kingdom of heaven is like a sheep that wandered away from 99. Every time Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, we know what it's like to be someone who's lost money. At least I do, because I have terrible organizational skills. We know what it's like to go look for someone who's lost. We know what it's like to leave the flock to go after somebody, or to be someone who left the flock to come after us. Reconciliation isn't just something that happens eventually. It's something that God works through us now. So that's why every time we've talked about fulfillment this semester, it's been something about today. About trusting today, about acting today, about believing today, about pursuing today. Because Jesus' fulfillment is here for us. It's the gift that has been given. But it's got to be a gift that we pick up. It's got to be a gift that we actually use. So friends, tonight, this word of reconciliation is not an easy one. Of course, at the end of the semester, I'd be like to be, hey, it's all over. It's done. Super. Super. Was that the thing? Okay. Anytime I get a Taylor laugh, that goes, I have to like figure out what was the thing. But it's also such good news. You know why? Because on my own, I don't believe that all this brokenness can be fixed. It seems too much to fix. But Jesus is at work reconciling all things. And And that's what Jesus has called us to be a part of today. So in your small groups, I'm going to ask us to talk about one difficult question. Matthew, you're smiling at me like I'm going to challenge you. This is really... What is the one thing preventing you from seeking reconciliation with somebody else? You don't have to talk about the person. You don't have to name names. Maybe it's better not to name names. But I'm inviting you to be really honest about the thing that's preventing you from seeking reconciliation, seeking the kind of fulfillment that God calls us to. What's in the way? What's the obstacle? And then I'm going to invite you in your small groups to pray for one another, to pray for the obstacles that people have lifted up, to take seriously the needs that people present. Because if we're going to find fulfillment, we're going to do it prayerfully, and we're going to do it together. So let's break up into our groups. We'll talk about the obstacle for you finding reconciliation, and we'll pray for one another. Go.